Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defy a man. But to eat unwashing and defy not a man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I won't have enough time to go through what we did last Tuesday. If you can follow it up, if you have forgotten, please request for the tape. I guess the tape is available because going through it will take a lot of time. And so, I don't want to go into it. But I will start by, you know, with something new that the Holy Spirit has put into my mind. Now, we are talking about the combating the sin of the flesh. And today, I also want to align with what Pastor has taught previously about the anatomy of flesh and look at the roles of the mind, the soul, the conscience, and the heart in this combat. Praise God. Because it is very, very important for us to look at the roles of the mind, the roles of the heart, the role of the soul, and the role of the conscience in this combat. Hallelujah. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will help me. Because this thing is very, very cumbersome. And first and foremost, let me start by telling us that the basic restriction in understanding or in biblical interpretation is the way those words were used. It forms a restriction. Praise God. It's so cumbersome. And the reason is not far-fetched because we discovered that the biblical terminology is not the same thing as scientific terminology. And it's not also the same thing with literary terminology. So when an individual is coming with sense of science to interpret scripture, he might not effectively do justice unto the interpretation. And if you are coming with the sense of, oh yes, I'm a literary person, I can understand that this is metaphor, this is imagery, and so on and so forth, you may do wrongly into such interpretation. So those things, those words that were used have formed a very, very restriction. And listen, let me also say this, that the Greek interpretation has not helped the matter. Because now the usage of, the Bible was written in Aramaic and in Hebrew language. And so when the Greek were interpreting the scripture, they were interpreting it according to their own language and understanding. So they could not do enough, they could not actually represent effectively what the Hebrew had in mind when they were writing the Bible. So it formed a basic restriction. It became a basic impediment when one is trying to interpret the Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, we need to also understand that, of course, Bible, most of the times, were written in imagery. And they were heavenly imagery, unlike the literary image. For example, when they say onomatopoeia in literature, you know, you can relate with it that they are talking about a sound. But that does not really mean the same thing, especially in the Bible. Praise God. When a literary writer is talking about tree, he's not talking about men. Do you understand? He's not talking about man. He's saying something that is different that you may not even necessarily be able to fathom, because they have a way of writing their literature in such as to fit their literary mind. So we discovered that an individual cannot say that, oh, I'm a professor in literature. I know what Bible is talking about. Is it not English that it is written? You won't do well by such assumption. Praise God. Somebody who reads physics will not do well when he comes with the sense of, yes, I'm a physicist. I can interpret. He won't do well by doing it because by when he's interpreting. Why? Because the Bible is written with divine language. It's a divine message brought from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm so that the things of heaven will be downloaded into the earth. So the question is, how then do we interpret the Bible? I won't go into the details of that because we have done enough good work here over that. But it survives for me to tell you, of course, let me also say this. It is also wrong for somebody to depend solely on the revelation. Praise God. Oh, we have revelation. Your revelation must have two or four legs. Praise God. And the Bible confirmed that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth shall be established. In other words, he's talking about people who we assume that they have revelation of the word of God, that there is need for them to cross-check from one, two, three people before it becomes truth. So if I have a revelation that these men and women cannot confirm as the truth, my revelation may be wrong. And even if it is not wrong, maybe it is not time for that revelation to come into the body. And so all I need to do is to keep the revelation into my pocket and follow with the trend of the church. Listen, what God is giving to the church is not the same thing as what he gave to the church in the time past. Knowledge is increasing on a daily basis. So, and I'm sure by the time the likes of my children were growing up, you know, the Maranatha, the Miracles, the Fehidaras, the Babatunde, etc., the Samuel, they were growing up, what we are seeing as revelation now, we become meek to them. It will become meek to them because their eyes of understanding would have been greatly enlightened. Listen, God has a way of bringing the heavenly things to this earth gradually. He doesn't do it once. You do it bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit. So if you sit on revelation and you don't allow your revelation to be confirmed by others, you are likely to mislead people. You are likely to mislead people. And that's why the scripture that we have just read now, we have separately interpreted it. But if I begin to say that this is what the Bible says, and people could not say, oh, it looked like it, we are going to confirm. Do you understand? It looked like it, though it's a revelation. I'm not interpreting in the literary form, but as a result of what the Holy Spirit ministered into my mind. But then there must be witness. I don't know whether you understand. There must be witness that thing should be the right, should be truth. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we must know that it is not science that validates the Bible. It is the Bible that should validate both the science and literature books and invalidate them. They should, Bible validate and invalidate the both. Praise God. Why am I saying this? If you are not in the realm of the science, you are in the realm of heart. Okay? So it is Bible that validate the both. Both does not have any sequence of validation of the Bible. They don't have what it takes to validate Bible, and they cannot validate Bible. So when a scientist is coming up and say that, oh, this is what soul is all about, according to the scientific knowledge, it might not be exactly that the Hebrew had in mind when they were writing the scripture. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we really need to understand this thing. So it is therefore valid. And of course, this is not an assumption. It is valid responsibility of a rabbi of the world or a teacher of the world who is coming to teach the world that whatsoever that I am teaching or I am talking about represent exactly what the Bible intends in mind to teach. Praise God. It must be exactly what the Bible intends, not that it close to it. If it does not represent what the Bible intends to teach, you have caused, you have ministered in flesh. Your ministration is from the flesh. And what your ministration will produce is people of the flesh. Praise God. So, I cannot understand why we have a lot of people of the flesh in the church today. Praise God. My wife used to say this, that it's only now that I see people scouting for message on social media. On its own, there is nothing wrong in it. But when we were growing up, those guys wait on the Lord. As a matter of fact, most of them does not know what they will preach until they get there. And the church is massively blessed. The church was living righteous. Why? Because the message they are bringing is not message of the flesh. It's the message that is baked from the oven of the Holy Ghost. But today, you just discover that people are not even prepared for message. People does not even have time to pray over message. People does not even have to wait on the Lord. It's this. There was a time when I listened to, what's the name of Bishop? Okonkwo. And he said that every message that will make an impact in the life of a believer should take more than a month for preparation. You look at it in their days, Sabi. Aha. You understand? You look at it and look at it and look at it. You adjust, you do it, you do. And you pray and pray about it. You even organize night vigil. We need to have a shift in the church. If we are going to turn people out of flesh into spiritual people, there should be a shift. We must have a shift. Because fleshly message, we only produce flesh people, people of the flesh. That's the truth. That's the truth. But when the message is baked from the oven of the Holy Ghost, it works in your heart. It works in your soul. So today, I just want us to look a little bit of what the book of Ecclesiastes 12:13. He said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Now, every message that is preached in the church that does not bring us into the love and fear of God is a message of flesh. Hello? When a message does not bring us into a place of reference, into a place of love, into a place of obedience, into a place where we run away from sin, is a message of something is wrong. The message may be beautiful, but the beauty of the message is derided or is degraded as a result of prayerlessness. I don't know whether you understand. It's degraded as a result of prayerlessness. So we must have a shift where we receive our prayers on our knees, our message on our knees, and say, God, what do you have for your people? What do you have for your people? Praise God. If I want to preach like, teach like pastor, I may not be able to do that. If I want to do what Ogi is doing, I may do havoc. So the most important thing is for me to be what God has made me to be. I stand in my measurement. Praise God. Everybody has measurement. So, we look at one of the major issues that those terminology in the Bible were written in synonymity. Do you understand that? They were written in synonymity. They are synonyms. But they are not. They did not exactly carry the same meaning. Hallelujah. You look at soul. You look at conscience. You look at spirit, you look at the heart, they represent different terminology before the Hebrews. They are not necessarily the same thing. Praise God. Inasmuch as I'm not trying to tell you that, oh, this is exact meaning of this and that, I only want to tell us that we really need to do a lot more work. All these things are written in the Bible. Those meanings. What we need is to do research, to trust God, to believe Him, to show us more revelation and more understanding in such that light will beam. And once the light beam, oh, you just, oh, this is what the Holy Spirit, this is what this thing is saying. Praise God. So you discover that those synonymity are posed a lot of problems to us. So much that he says soul at the heart. Are they the same thing? Says conscience at the this. Are they the same thing? And to start with, I really, the person who used conscience most was Paul. And I begin to ask myself, what's wrong with this Paul self? Why should he engage this contradiction? I mean, this kind of controversial issue. But do you know that I discovered that Paul, in using that was speaking to people who criticized his work, who thought that what he was doing was not valid. Praise God. And so he could come to a conclusion that, oh, these people does not have the Spirit of God who could confirm my work unto them. So he needed to address them with their conscience. The fact is that whether believer or unbeliever, everybody is equipped with what?
Conscience.
Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, you have conscience. So when he was talking, when he was addressing the issue of conscience, he was talking to people who does not really understand the working of the Spirit.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
First and foremost, I want us to know that there is always a transaction between the soul and the heart. Between the soul, the mind, and the heart. Three of them. There is continuous transaction. One cannot stand without others. There is always transaction between the mind, the soul, and what? And the heart. That's why in the book of Deuteronomy says, that's how love the Lord God with what? With your heart, with your soul, with your mind, and with your mind. Praise God. So there are interest, valid transaction between three of them. They transact, they trade. They're good traders. They trade between one another. The three of them. They are triple traders. And so when they use the word mind or the word soul or the word heart, it is not saying the same thing. Three of them have different different interpretation, but they were interrelated. They were so much interrelated, they were so much knitted together, like a weave that is knitted to make a cloth. So are the relationship of three of them, that if you are not careful, you will want to take them for one another. Hallelujah. And so we really need to pay critical attention, not just the first use, but the contextual matter that is being discussed, and now that those things are being displayed. Praise God. You know, most times when I want to find meaning of things, I go into a dictionary and I discover that dictionary does not help me. Even in biblical interpretation, they take you far. Praise God. So you see that three of them are so much interrelated and work one and one with other. Praise God. I remember last week, the basic discussion that we discussed was the sin within. That was the major emphasis. Sin within. We were able to establish that there is sin within, and the sin within is not, it's a spiritual thing. And it is the law of motion of sin that operates in the life of a man that pull man to do what he does. Sin within. But sin within does not make any of us a sinner until sin without are drawn by the sin within. I don't know whether you understand. The sin within, that's why the Bible said that the scripture that I read, out of the mouth comes adultery, out of the heart comes adultery, fornication, witchcraft, strife. He listed them. They are within. They are resident there. They are only waiting for a pull or a trigger for them to rise up and to raise their ugly head and attack. They were poisoned. They were like a serpent ready to bite. Sin within. But sin within remain as sin within, which does not necessarily make you a sinner or commit sin until the sin without is attracted by the sin within. Now, what attracts the sin without? When I say sin without, I'm talking of the system of the world. What attracts the sin, the sin without, is the sin within. They are triggers. Praise God. They are triggers. And basically, they use your mind. They operate with your mind. They come and operate with your mind. The mind of a man is a seat of emotions. You can't feel pain without mind. Praise God. The reason why you cut a tree and a tree does not cry is because it does not have a mind. One emotion. Praise God. Someone said that tree does not have emotions. Praise God. They have life, but okay. Agriculture, let's say. Yes, ma. I know they have life. There is a life that produces seed in them. It's different from the life of man. Praise God. I know they have their life. But, you can't cut a man and man will not scream. Sir? Benny. You cut a tree, still there. If you took me here now as I am preaching, I will pick grace. I won't say, I'm preaching. Continue I have legs. That's why the leg is there. Especially when I know that I can't overpower you. Why? Because I have mind. I'm feeling pain. Praise God. So you discover that because of the intellectual capacity of mind, because of the emotional posture of mind, because of what mind represents to man, mind could attract sin. It's a pool. It's a drawer. And it draws sin. Praise God. Now, when that sin is drawn, it forms a character in man. Why? Because the sin is resident in the heart of man. The sin is resident in the heart of man. That's why I tell the conversation to the one, oh, in the heart. Because that sin dwells in heart. It dwells in heart. It makes a character. It makes a person. Righteousness makes a person. It makes a character. Now, what is in your heart? That's why the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. In other words, heart is the recipient of all the things that the mind has drawn. Heart is the recipient. You receive it and you keep it. It's waiting for a time when it will be used. Praise God. The Bible said that guard your heart diligently. For out of it is what? Is the issues. Not only issues of life. Issues of life was resident in the heart of man before sin. But heart of a man is like a pool of water. The pool of water or a pond of water has a lot of species in it. Praise God. When that pond was there, that pond contained many things. Sometimes snake we put his head, but he will not totally enter because he doesn't know whether the fish who can devour him is there. Crab is there. Scorpion could be there. All kind of those things that live under the water, they were resident in that. So that was exactly what the heart of man is. So, in other words, if the heart of an individual is not filtered by the word of righteousness, you will discover that what that person will manifest is nothing but sin. Praise God. It's nothing but sin and evil, wickedness and unrighteousness. That is what that heart will exhume all the time. That is why. Have you ever seen anybody, someone who is thinking, he's sitting down and he's thinking of how to steal? It's coming from his heart. Oh, them plan there. You won't know. Praise God. And of course, that is why we have to be careful the kind of film that we watch. Because those things are teachers. Praise God. They're teachers. So, you discover that basically your heart is what generates sin. I can suffer any only shaking here while I move there. You will. Do you know that even believers, how many times has your mind ministered to you and said, yeah, God will forgive you. Go and do it. All you need to do is that God will forgive. Hello, church. Imagine Kaparo. Do you understand? This is your mind. There is a lot of scheming in the mind of a man, so much more that the mind has become issue. That's why the Bible was talking about renewal of mind. But there is need for us to continually and daily renewing our mind. Praise God. Because mind is the pool. It's the trigger. It's the one that draws sin without. Draws sin without. And the sin within, we help to bring it out fully when it becomes a commission. Or an omission. Praise God. You know there is a sin of commission, there is a sin of omission. Until it becomes a commission, you just discover, praise God. Hallelujah. So, we have seen the oppression of mind and the oppression of the heart. Now, mind receive, drop it in your heart. Okay? Mind will receive, drop things in your heart, and the sin within will help your mind to execute the project. And so sin is formed. An act of omission or an act of commission has taken place. Praise God. So, in other words, we now begin to look at what is conscience. Praise God. I don't know where they dwell, though. I don't know. But I perceive that it's about three circles. One here, one here, and one within. It's unfortunate. If I had it, I would have drawn it. I perceive that is what it is. I didn't read it anywhere. Now, I don't know which one first. I'm not going to do any place because I don't want to give a teaching that I have not confirmed, so that you will not go out there and say, okay, Ibiti mind one, Ibiti soul one, Ibiti heart one. No, I'm not going to do that. But I believe that all of them are within the circumference of three circles. Praise God. Now, when we speak about the mind and the heart, then we need to talk about the third one, which is conscience. Basically, interpret conscience as a teacher. Conscience is what? It's a teacher. Your conscience is your teacher. That's the role that conscience plays in the life of a man. So, you don't have an excuse. I don't have baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's why I'm committing sin. Your conscience is there. Because the Bible talks about those without sin shall be judged according to their conscience. Praise God. They be judged. Why? Because their conscience is there to minister the right and the wrong unto them. Whether believer or unbeliever, you have conscience. So your conscience will tell you, oh, this thing that I want to do is wrong. Praise God. So we see conscience as a great teacher who teaches us about wrongs and the right. Let's look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, 14. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what? Dead works. And if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1, we will understand that the conscience of every man does not have capacity even to understand, to receive divine message. Conscience does not have it. Do you understand? Let me tell you why. Like I said, an unbeliever have conscience. Can they use their conscience to receive message from the Holy Spirit? No. But their conscience was put to them to teach them the normal and the abnormal, the right and the wrong. Praise God. What to do and what not to do. But they can't receive divine instruction. Conscience does not have capacity that's what the work of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit that can receive for you divine instruction, divine message, divine program, divine will of God. Conscience does not have capacity to receive that for you. Now, dead works. People that have conscience, but they are not church people. They are moralists. They don't commit sin. They don't tell lies. They are not like that professor who was fainting during the probe. Do you understand? These ones have conscience. They see money, they won't take it. The like of Tam David West. Praise God. Do you know why? What killed Tam David West? Wristwatch. They have bribed this man with a lot of money. Tam David West was not taking it. He was Minister of Petroleum. Because there is a conscience that is telling him that your people are suffering. You can't do this to your people. It's wickedness. Why will you take bribe? Then David West was not taking bribe from anybody. But he died miserably. Why? People that had a greater conscience, that their conscience are already sealed with the altar, manipulate him and say, okay, he gave you petroleum product. Fine, go and say thank you. And the guy bought a wristwatch, gold wristwatch, and gave Tam David West as a gift. Was it Tam David West? Gave him as a gift. As soon as he took it, you know what they said? The thief is calling the moralist. He's calling the moralist a thief. Immediately they just arrested him. That he has taken bribe of wristwatch. The man did not only resign. Sir? He was jailed. In this Nigeria. He had conscience, but he doesn't have the Holy Ghost. Do you know that if he has the Holy Ghost would have ministered to him. He was talking funny book on Kala Tojo. Kill over the wristwatch. Don't take it. Did you understand the difference between the two now? The Holy Ghost would have told him. But conscience does not have capacity to tell him that, hey, this thing will harm you. Khaki. It will hand you a short knicker. Conscience cannot tell him. Praise God. So you can see the limitation of your conscience. So what he does, when we are talking about dead works, even the righteousness that the conscience produces, it's a dead walk before the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? The righteousness that he could produce is a dead walk before the Holy Spirit. That's what that was the fight between Christ and Pharisees. He said, the blind guide. Who are the guide of the blind? You will all fall into the ditch. Are they not righteous? Do they commit sin? No, they don't. But yet, he called them blind guides. Why? Because they were not walking with the Holy Ghost, but they were walking according to the law of conscience. Oh, if I do this, God will kill me. Oh, if I do that, God will hammer me. Yeah, it's true. That's a good, awesome thing. But conscience could not save them. Conscience does not make them to be, a guide that has light. So conscience is not regarded as light to them. But the Holy Spirit is what? Is the light. Why? The Bible says that the Spirit of God is the candle of God that lightens the heart of man. It enlightens. It brings the things of God unto man. It resolves certain issues that man would have not been able to ordinarily resolve by the conscience. Praise God. We could see that on its own, our conscience has limitation. Praise God. Do you know that you may have good conscience as a believer? Now, good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You may have good conscience. Now, what conscience does is to remind you of those things that you should not do as a believer. It's working with the Holy Ghost. Let me give an example. This is a student environment. A brother in the church sit beside you in examination. And the compulsory question, he could not understand. And you are both in the exam. You sat down together. And that, bro, help me. Bro, help me now. And the brother said, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. I can't walk against the law of God. And he came to brother X and Y. What do you think they will say? Ah, you are wicked. The conscience. Praise God. The conscience. Do you understand? He had good conscience to what he did. That's why the Bible said that. If your conscience does not condemn you, God is greater than what? than your conscience. In other words, he was talking about obedience to the word of God, which is much better than doing good, which conscience has asked you to do. So we can see that not in all time that conscience could ask you, ah, he's a brother, oh, yeah, king, run low. Pastor, man, understand. God himself, we understand. God alone, you understand, though. Praise God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, I think. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read from 16 to 17. Look at what it says. 1 Peter 3, 16 to 17. He said, having good conscience. See, he has good conscience that whereas they still speak evil of you. Even with your good conscience, they still speak evil of you as of evil doers. Certainly contradiction. He has good conscience. They speak good evil of him as evil doer. What was evil to them was the right thing before God. Do you understand? I've given you an example now. What was evil before them was the right thing before God. So they condemn you as evildoer. They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. So your good conversation in Christ is that I can't align with unrighteous and do certain things that is unrighteous, even though people with cults tell me that I don't have conscience for not doing it. Praise God. I give you another example. I was coming from the house on Sunday. I have an impression so written in my heart. Wait and help this old man and old woman. They were pushing their car. And I said it out. I said, let's help these people. We were already, my wife said we were late to the church. And I look at the time. I say, it's true. We were late. The man was looking at me as I was going. Praise God. Is that a good conscience? No, please. Do you understand? Is that a good conscience? No. Because, you know, I know that I might have responsibility in the church. I might have a work. I might have an assignment. I'm a minister of the gospel. Those of you that condemn that Samaritan, the priest, you better think twice. Because there are certain things that we cannot judge. He said, judge nothing before the time. Praise God. Except where God has proclaimed judgment on it. And I just look at it that, this is conscience. I don't know whether you've been in that fix before. And I drove off. The man was just looking at me. I fought my wife to the church. I said, it's you that did not allow me to wait. But you know what the Holy Spirit told me later? He said, if you had waited, she won't drive you. She won't force you to go. You don't want to wait. Don't pass buck. I have to go on my knee and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Do you understand what I'm talking? So you can see what conscience does. In other words, if you depend and rely on conscience to operate your life, you are likely to wreck it. So when Paul was using conscience to these people, he was talking to them that does not understand the language of the Spirit. But what they understand or what they understood is the language of conscience. That's why he said, I live in good conscience. My conscience, you know, my conscience speaks to me. I live in good conscience. Because he was speaking to people who could not relate if he says that I live by the Holy Spirit. Do you know there are times when he says that the Holy Spirit says in the church? But with some people, he need to use the word conscience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hmm. So, in other words, how many more minutes do I have? 10 minutes. Okay, that's a very good one. In other words, we cannot necessarily overcome the outer sin when we have not overcome the sin
within.
Praise God. If you fight the sin outside, without first and foremost, subdue the sin within, the sin without will subdue you. The sin within is a system. Praise God. It's a system of mind. How the mind of man works. Praise God. The sin without is also a system of the world. That's why the book of 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at the book of 1 John chapter 2. Verse 16. He said, look at, he said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, those are the sin outside. They're normal drone. They have never invited anybody. But they use agents to minister to your mind. The lust of the flesh depends on what you use your eyes to see. And so flesh catch it. When you see a woman that wear tights, and she has a cuff body, and you begin to look, sin of the flesh, lust. You begin to lust after. Oh my, fine. You don't even bear any here. Kai, I wish it's in my church. Those that are married, they say, if it's a sister in the church, oh, I'm utiti boti yaraju. Pastor, that's of who I kade NYC. Do you understand? That's how it works. And God bless you. The sister just say, bro, how are you? You have made my day. And you hug. You are feeling the hug. Why? Because the something within has already attracted that thing that is without. And you are feeling the sensation. I feel the touch, the simple touch of that sister. Wow. That sister is beautiful. It's without spot. What do I do? And I have told pastor about my relationship. And you begin to look for faults. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said about that? He said, God did not ask us to leave our partner for every cause. It's not for every cause. I know that one is enough for divorce. That one is enough for separation. That one is enough for this Ibadan that I went. And of course, one of my nephew brought, they are Muslim. I don't have issue with that. Brought somebody to me in Akure. Uncle, this is the person I want to marry, this and that and so on and so. And they brought endless list of engagement list that I should help them. I said, no problem. Then there wasn't COVID. I do what I can do. But by my word, I have spoken my word. And I don't want to go back. I know even when the COVID is restored, I don't think I'll be able to meet up with that thing urgently. So I asked, bring your fiance to me again. Let's review what we have discussed. Because there is problem already in town. And he brought this woman. And I called his dad, who happened to be my brother. He's my stepbrother. And I said, come, let's review this thing. I can't afford all this. A bag of rice, I can't get it. I can't get all this thing. Now there is COVID. People are getting married quietly without expense. Let's do this thing. And his father said, my brother now said, Bola Ayada. But I've also said the same thing, that the last time I visited the father of this lady, what he said is that, are you still doing anything? Maybe they are already living together. You don't need to do anything again. This and that and so on. You don't need to do anything again. You know what the lady said? He said, I want consulting one new money, one sorting one. And of course, my nephew said, one sorting one. Your daddy said his own, Abi. Do you have money for that marriage? Because my uncle is saying now that he doesn't have money. I said, and I said, you're already living together. kí la tó ń sọ ẹ ti gbé yẹra yín yàwó. And I look at the top, and I said, you are even pregnant. He said, no, I am not. I said, kí la ṣe bẹ́ẹ̀ don sùn papọ̀ ni. Ó ní mo ní ẹ̀ndọ́gbọ́n sí. You know, I said, well, as this matter is now, I am out of it. I've been looking for a way to excuse me. Praise God. What am I saying? You know what my nephew said? He said because he was rude to us by saying things that she should not say in the presence of fathers. She's not living with me again. I said, Oku, etirelu me. You have seen somebody. You have seen somebody somewhere. So you can see what the lust of the flesh does to man. Things that you now begin to see condemnation because you just see that sister might be a demon. That sister might be the one that will kill you. That sister might be the one that will wreck your life. Stay where you are. Don't let the lust of the flesh draw you out. Praise God. So we see that these are the system of the world. Of course, we call it the system of the world because if you are not any of these, you are Shuegbe. You are SU. You are Krio. Praise God. The pride of life. What is the pride of life? The pride of life is that, yes, I was teasing my wife. I said, you need a Jeep. You are looking for a Jeep. He said, no, not necessarily a Jeep. I just want a car that doesn't give sand. I don't want to hear any sand. Praise God. Do you understand that? I don't want a car that we, I don't want to hear any sound in any car. I said, okay, don't worry, we'll get there. But presently, pride of life is that, oh, Pastor Ogi is riding, mommy is riding Lexus. If Lexus is not to hear, if not, God, sorry, wap Lexus. We grew up together now. Kilo is already in your story, and you can buy Lexus, sir. GMC. Hey. But the present GMC is obsolete. Praise God. We have the latest one in town, which is Lexus. Praise God. Yes. Thank you very much. So you can see the pride of life competing. You just want to be like them. I told you about a friend of mine. I went to him, and he showed me to in his compound, and I counted the car that it was above 30-something. He said, yes, sir. He said, there's no place to park car. And I went with that rickety car. My friend that we grew up together could not say, when after he has shown me, this one is when I want to go to governor, this one is when I'm going to Abuja to see the minister, this one, and he was showing me, this one is during the, he ride one on Valentine's Day. This one is just for Valentine's Day. At the end of show of pride of life, I said, Lord, you are mad. You have gone mad. I said, you are just mad. He said, why did you say? I said, you have gone mad. Having all these cars. So, niku money. That was what I said. I said, do you think they will bury you with any of this car? I said, your children will sell it at a cheap price. Only Bola Kilo, I expect Kuma. Money, no, there are many things you can do with money. Only when I have houses. I'm not talking about houses. What about others that does not have houses? What about others that does not have car? You know what they say? Are you asking for a car? And I told him I won't mind. You give me one, but he has not. That I won't mind if you give me one. These are the pride of life. I can't compete with him. Of course, I don't envy him. No, envy God. God sees my heart. There is none of them that I ever envy. The only time when he said, ah, no, Bola, you can't wear this jalopy, when it was when we were doing the remembrance of my auntie. He gave me, what's the name? Range Rover, latest one. Drive this one. I said, I don't want to. He said, drive it. And I drove it. But it was good. Praise God. But that was how it was ended. So you can see this system being like them. Stop being like them. Be yourself. If God wants you to be like them, you will get there. Praise God. So let's stop being like them. These are the things that our mind does unto us. They pull these things unto us. They pull it into our heart and build a character of either righteous person or unrighteous person in us. God bless you in Jesus' name. Praise God.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit-filled meetings, School of Diocese, every Tuesday, 6 p.m., Governmental Prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m., Sunday meetings, 9 a.m. Grace be with you.